Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, JV. In this show, my co-host, James Tapeblake Grayling, and I defer to you, the listeners, for our topics to discuss, and you didn't let us down. We talk about our favorite Avalanche memories, how bad the Avs are compared to hockey teams in Colorado's past, and how we know the Avalanche aren't losing on purpose right now. Those topics and much, much more Avalanche stuff coming at you in episode number 63 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stick around. James and I will be right back. Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche. I'm your host, JV, here with my co-host, James Tapeblake Grayling from the Rink Podcast. Good morning, James.
Good morning. How are you?
Man, I couldn't be better.
Happy Daylight Savings Day, or whatever they call it. It should be a national holiday so that you don't have to go into work.
You got screwed. That's what it's called. I'm glad they do it. Imagine if they did that during the week.
You know what? That's the thing. I actually have to go into work. So this is like doing it during the week for me. I get to feel the pain while, you know, other people, oh, you know, doesn't matter. I get to sleep in.
Shut your face. You shut your face.
Yeah. So good morning.
Yeah. I mean, between 18 of 19 and losing an hour and
yeah,
it's just times couldn't be better.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, I mean, but it makes for a short game recap. I think you basically just did it.
No, I was going to have you do it again. Go. Game recaps.
They've won one since our last talk. I believe the last time we talked, they were at 57 points. And since then, they've won one and lost one in overtime for a total of 3 points.
Yes.
Since our last podcast.
I think that's two full shows between. That's the fun part there.
You know, I think the first one we were at 56.
It was 56.
Two shows ago we were at 56. Last one we were at 57. So now we're at 60.
60? Man, they're rolling.
If we keep on this scale by the in about 20 weeks, we should be to 80 points.
It's still 16 points out of the playoffs. Yes. We're going to extend the season, folks. Yes. Pump in the fist. Mm. As you just said a couple minutes ago, as we talked off the air, this is entertaining in a sad way.
Yeah.
Very well put, sir.
It's a comedy of errors. It's tragic in a way, but at the same time, you just gotta.
It's a train wreck.
Laugh in a way.
You have to laugh. You have to keep watching because we are real fans. By the way, mm-hmm. we have people that are listening right now that are the real fans of the Avalanche. So it's like a train wreck. You got to keep watching it.
Well, and it's hard in a way because, you know, what I hate is that I feel like, boy, I really want to be positive and, you know, I'm a fan of the team. I love the team, but man, it is hard to stay positive. And even with all the people that think, oh, I love this team, you know, to thick or thin, whatever. Oh, it's really hard to stay positive no matter what. And it's a test. It's a definite test for the fans.
Well, I've heard a lot of, we'll look back on this and smile someday. I don't want to, you know. I was watching, they had a Rocky special on Fox Sports Rocky Mountain yesterday. Well, they replayed it about the Colorado Rockies baseball team in 2007. Mm. They won 17 of 18. And to make it to a regular season tiebreaker and then went to the World Series that year. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they won 17 of 18. The Avs have now lost 18 of 19, so kind of full circle.
Yeah,
which I don't like.
You know what? Nobody likes it, but I will say this. That's what I was thinking about the other day, that the Avalanche are on the path to the Stanley Cup, the same path that the Pittsburgh Penguins took. They had, you know, number one overall pick in Sidney Crosby. I believe it was number 2 overall pick in Evgeny Malkin, and Fleury, was he a number 1 pick or a number 2 pick?
I believe he was a number 1 pick, but I'm not positive.
Yeah, I think he was. And that is, you know, that's how they won a cup, by being horrible for a few years and getting those top picks.
It's the unexpected part, though.
You know, it's right. it's them playing so well early this year, and then the wheels absolutely falling off. I'd, you know, if you could see this coming, or it was obviously a rebuilding year, or this or that. But you know, I guess the Penguins had a pretty good tradition before they got pretty terrible too. Mm-hmm. So it is similar. I've heard a lot of that. I've heard a lot of, you know, this will lead to a good draft pick, and that's good and all. But I don't know if you ever celebrate streaks like this or a season like this. There's nothing really to celebrate, but we're all hoping something good comes out of it.
No, totally. And, you know, I can't, you know, last year was the rebuilding year and it really didn't happen. You know, we got an unexpected gift out of last year.
Yeah. Now we're paying for it.
Yeah. In a way. I mean, yeah. not in a reasonable linear kind of way where you say, boy, this is what happened last year and this is what's going to happen this year. Last year it was, boy, they're going to tank, and then they didn't. And then this year it was just like,
Which is why a lot of people still think Joe Sacco has a job. You know, I'm not a big fire Sacco guy, and I'm not really into firing anybody or trading anybody. It's just nothing that we can control. But it still is interesting why he has a job. You know, Avalanche coaches in the past have been fired for much, much less. Pro sports coaches have been fired for much, much less. So
yeah.
I don't know. They're you know, between the trades and the injuries, I'm sure they want to give him his time. But at times it looks like this team needs something totally different and just a change. And we all know, if you follow sports close enough, that's usually the coach. Yeah, you can't fire the players necessarily, so you fire the coach, and that's how it goes. But maybe he's, you know, I don't know, either I really want his agent, or, you know, last year bought him some time, or the injuries are an obvious reason as to what's going on, and so on and so on and so on. But I'm still sometimes flabbergasted, but that's a stupid word. I'm kind of confused as to why he still has a job, because it's obvious his team needs a switch, but he does, and whatever. We'll see.
I always thought that, you know, my opinion is evolving on this. I don't know if I want him fired or not, but something's got to change. But right now, I don't care about that change, because nothing's going to shoehorn them into the playoffs.
Yeah,
there's no reason.
Doesn't really matter. Yeah, no. I mean,
if you want to get rid of him in the off season, get rid of him in the off season. There's nothing. This is quite possibly, sadly enough, the best thing for the team is just to get that high draft pick. I don't like it. I don't think it's a good way to, you know, to sell the team. No player is playing for a draft pick, you
absolutely.
Know, 'cause that's just not how it works.
Absolutely. And then I sent a tweet out not long ago, and I haven't heard a lot since from people, but a lot of people saying, well, it's, you know, the only explanation to all this is that they're losing on purpose. These guys are professional athletes. This is their livelihood. And if they get that good draft pick, that draft pick might be taking their spot.
Individual person loses on purpose.
No
like
way.
This in, no. On a team. There's no way. Especially in, you know, if there's a contract year, you better believe that they're not.
But, absolutely.
You know, they're all playing for their NHL lives, essentially. Yeah. There's only so many roster slots out there. So
I don't know. It was brought up just enough for me to send that out. We had a little small discussion on Twitter about it.
You got your dander on?
Yeah, absolutely. I do that every once in a while. I mean, I just, you know, it wasn't frustrating to me, but I think some people really do, because they're just trying to make sense out of it all and just trying to, you know, make sense in their head as far as what this streak is all about. But there is no organization that would ever do something like that. There's way too much at stake on a lot of different levels. So if you're thinking that, you know, come up with another, you know, way to make sense out of this whole thing, because losing on purpose is not something these guys will do.
No, but you know, what was it? There was some story recently about a youth team that actually did lose on purpose.
I saw that. Yeah.
They got suspended from a tournament, yep. I believe in California. They didn't even take a shot on goal.
No, they pulled their goalie too with a couple minutes left just to make sure they lost.
They did.
If I remember the details right, they pulled their goalie. This was in Canada, actually, I think.
Oh, it was? I thought it was in California for some reason.
We'll keep all comments to ourselves on that one. But yeah, I think it was they pulled their goalie while they were losing just to make sure they set up a rematch with a team they'd already beat or something to that effect. But
they made another team play an extra game.
Exactly.
And they had to lose by 5 goals because of the goal difference.
Yeah. Stay classy. That never works out, by the way. It's kind of in baseball, that's a big one too. You save your best pitcher for a better team down the road, like in a tournament or a postseason thing. And yeah, I learned very early that you do not save your best player for a game that may not happen, and it usually backfires one way or another.
You know, I think about the same thing with the shootout, in that why wouldn't any team want to go first in the shootout? Because they say, oh, it puts the pressure on the other team. It seems like, boy, you're wasting the ability to take a shot. Like if the other team gets two goals, you're done. You don't get your third. You may not get your third shooter in. At least this way, you actually have the chance of seeing all three shooters.
Not bad thinking there.
I don't know. Math.
Yeah, I think we watch enough hockey. You're an expert.
No, it's just early. I'm just rambling.
All right. Let's keep rolling, shall we? Are you good? Joel Perpich. Remember him?
No.
No, not many people do. I don't know why I know the name either. It's just because some of the stuff. The only jersey number 63 in Avalanche history. Played three games in the 2000-2001 season.
Wow.
Good times. Great memories. I don't think he had like two or four penalty minutes. Yeah.
He was the man.
So we are done with jersey numbers until episode number 71 of the As Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost everything Avalanche. So we'll have to get creative.
Where do you get those? Where do you get those jersey numbers again from?
HockeyDB.com. They were nice enough to provide us a cool little link on their Avs Like Network thing, kind of like what the Avs Guild does. Very nice of them to do that.
Wait a minute. Who was that? Which?
Avs which Guild. Site? The Avs
no,
Guild.
For the jersey number.
Did I say Hockey DB?
You did.
Yeah. I said that. I meant Avalanche DB.
Thank you.
Hockey DB is a different one where you can go get rosters. And when I'm looking for people to put on my jerseys, Hockey DB has every roster from every team ever played hockey ever.
Yeah, you can forget about that little link that they set up. That's out of there now.
Which one?
Thanks for nothing.
The Avalanche thing? The Avalanche DB?
They said forget it. You're not gonna. You don't get the link now.
Yeah, I know. I lost it. Somebody's hitting the delete button right now. Sorry, Avalanche DB, we love you. But I think that's part of the Eurolanche type group as well. But yeah, I've been in touch with them a little bit, and they've been very kind to provide all that information and also provide us with a link. So avalanchedb.com. Sorry, it's early, guys.
Jeez. Brilliant.
All right, game recaps we already went over. They lost, and so we decided to open it up to the listeners and the people that follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and we'll get to where to find us on that a little bit later. But we open it up to the fans, and we really appreciate everybody getting in touch. The kind of the shout outs are already built in, and we just thought we'd open it up to you guys, and you guys came through for us because we have run out of stuff to talk about except for random hockey things. Chara. I just want to mention Chara. That's it. Everybody else is mentioning Chara.
I don't know. I looked at that. I thought that hit was kind of weird. It's, you know, I agree that with what a lot of the players said was that, you know where you are on the ice.
Absolutely.
And you know that there's going to be, you know, where those corners are, where those stanchions are. I know people keep saying turnbuckle. I believe it's stanchion.
Did you catch my George the Animal Steel reference?
I did not.
Five for Fighting on Twitter did and brought back good memories. Are you an old WWF wrestling fan?
No, I'm not.
Okay. George the Animal Steel used to eat the turnbuckles and pull them apart, and that was all part of his act. He was not an athlete, but he was this character that everybody loved, and he was just a nut. And that's what he used to do. So whenever anybody says turnbuckle, I think George the Animal Steel. So those of you that are old school wrestling fans, you don't care. Okay, keep going. Sorry, Chara. I had to interrupt.
No, I'm good with Chara.
Yeah, we got it. We got about 30 minutes to get through it. We're just going to breeze through everything. And once again, thank you to all of you that got in touch with all of your comments and questions and things like that. We'll start with Ryan Rebow.
He's got the best one.
Saying maybe we should just play Static the entire show. You do a good Static.
Thank you.
Yeah.
My background is a sound guy.
Yeah, we could have, but it's probably as good as our podcast, right about in there. And I don't know. We'll see.
It's all I hear in my head. Anyways.
Yeah. Ryan, thanks for the suggestion, man. Appreciate it. Let's start from the blog. Carl Oakey on Twitter, Carl Walls, got on there. Favorite Avs memory, James? Got one?
Mine is going to be, the 96, Stanley Cup win. I remember I was, watching at, let's see, I was watching at Gabor's, which is a bar in downtown or in Denver in Capitol Hill, and somebody gave me a call and said, "Hey, I'm in Lodo. I'm sitting here at the bar. I've got a seat ready for you. Get down here." And it was the second overtime. And I said, "Look, if this goes to a third overtime, I'll get down there." And and sure enough, you know, I get in the car. I busted down there. There was parking right outside. There was like press parking, and I had a press plate.
Fate.
I parked, walked in, sat down, ordered a beer. Boom, AV score, and when it was just so exciting.
Yeah, that was.
And if you look in, let's see, this I just found the book again recently. There's that photo book from that season, and if you look at the parade, there was at the rally down at the courthouse.
Yes.
There's an overhead shot, and you're looking at the crowd and all of this, and they've got, you know, and there's a press platform there. If you look on top of the press platform, I'm the guy dressed in all black.
Cool. I'll check that out. You're going to sign that for me, I think.
Oh, I'll sign it. Yeah. I'll sign an invisible ink for you.
I remember. But, yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. That for me was really cool. And it really, you know, I did a five things post on Puck Daddy not that long ago. And I guess maybe it was a year ago, 2 years ago. Anyways. And I put down, you know, that really solidified, you know, made me an AS fan in a way. And somebody made a comment about, well, I guess if they hadn't won a cup, you wouldn't have been a fan. You know, maybe not, because I wasn't really a sports fan. I was, you know, but hockey, it really captured my imagination, and it captured a lot of people's imagination, obviously. But if it weren't for that, maybe not. Maybe I wouldn't be. I can't say, but
yeah, you never
it
know.
Was, yeah. So really I guess my biggest memory is my favorite memory is actually becoming a really solid AS fan.
There you go. I think we all have those in a way. Yeah. I mean, if I hadn't met Joe Sakic on the driving range at our golf club at one point, I mean, I don't know. I don't know either. Cause I mean, I was a huge fan of his before, but you know, I looked down the range and there's just two of us out there that day for whatever reason. And I looked down there and I'm like, holy crap, that's Joe Sakic. So I had to go say hi, and he couldn't have been nicer. And yeah, I think we all have those moments for sure.
And this was before you could do that social media stalking.
Of course. Otherwise, I would have had to stay across the range from him, you know, at least that 50 feet or whatever they allowed me.
Hi, Joe. I'm your biggest fan.
Joe, you know me. I would have been on the roof or something then. But yeah.
Joe Sakic.
Hello. Nice shot. I love you. That's one of them for me. Chris Drury's overtime goal against the Stars in the 2000 playoffs. Overtime victory. I've never heard a building louder than that because I wasn't at Game 7 of 2001. But unfreaking believable. And we had Stars fans in front of us, and they couldn't have been nicer too. So that was cool. But I think my very favorite Avalanche memory is Sakic's third goal in 2001 Stanley Cup Game 7. You know, him scoring to put him up 3-0, I remember distinctly saying, yeah, try and score four straight on Patrick Roy. It's just not going to happen. So that was cool. I think we all have all kinds of memories, and I think it's good to think about them right now for sure, because there's not a lot to be memorable right now. But those are mine. And I think what I'll do is I will post up some YouTube videos of our favorite memories and make it part of this post. So
yeah.
Are the Avs worse than the old Colorado Rockies?
Yes and no.
I've got like no way, but I think the history of the Avalanche helps say no, because the old Colorado Rockies never had any history. They just stunk pretty much. But go ahead.
Yeah, the Colorado Rockies history was pretty much the Kansas City Scouts, because that's where they came from.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, I pulled up the Rockies record, and the most wins they ever had in a season was 1980-81, which was 22 wins.
Yeesh.
And that was an 80-game season, and that, you know, the Avs now have 26 wins, yeah. Which, you know, makes it, yeah, okay, obviously mathematically, no, they're not. But, boy, when you've lost 18 of 19, oh.
I wonder if the Rockies ever did that. I don't know off the top of my head. That's a teeny bit before my time.
But, I mean, you know, when they went, their worst season ever was 15-53-12. And that was the 78-79 season. And then you look at the Quebec Nordiques. And how about that season where they went 12-61-7?
Yeah. So yeah, and maybe I like your point. Maybe they have been as old as the old Colorado Rockies, or as bad as the old Colorado Rockies at times. But as a whole, I think the history of the Avalanche helps trump that just a little bit.
Yeah, and you know, everybody says, "Oh, like, oh, fire Sacco." Well, geez, you know, the Rockies had Don Cherry, and they fired him.
That's right.
You know, so
that's right.
Anything's possible.
Good times, good times. And also, one more question from Carl Oakey on Twitter. Carl Wallace, thank you, dude. Jersey fouls. What constitutes a jersey foul? And we'll just go over a couple things here. Jersey foul. I mean, just like off the top of my head, wearing a Red Wings jersey to an Avalanche game where the Red Wings aren't playing. That's a jersey foul.
That's just asking for trouble. Yeah. You're one of those people who wants to stir something up on purpose.
You are so that guy.
You get what you get.
Yeah. You are that guy. What else? You know, styles that the player never wore, like a Ray Bourque blueberry alternate. Not cool. Yeah. That is a jersey foul.
I'm going to say this about that though, is that if you want a Ray Bourque jersey, or you want a player that didn't wear, like, let's say the Reebok Edge jerseys,
okay,
it's not like you can go easily find. You can find them because you search them out.
Oh, absolutely.
But, you know, it's not like they're making any more of the burgundy thirds.
No.
You know, so good luck finding them.
Yeah.
And if you're wanting a player that, you know, I could never afford that. I could never afford his jersey before when he was playing, but now I can. You know what? I'm cool with it. Whatever.
Yeah. You know, and Carl, it all depends on the perspective, because, you know, with my collection, I'm all about the little details, all the way down to who made it. Because there was a time when the Avalanche, when the NHL changed, basically branding, they went from CCM and Coho to Reebok, and that's where I can get a little picky. So it's kind of all in the, I mean, there's some universal jersey fouls, and you'll find those on Puck Daddy. Right. You
we
know?
Saw I saw that picture of the guy who had the Sakic jersey. It had number 19 on the back, but it didn't even have Sakic's name. And I'm just thinking that's pretty bad.
That's a jersey foul. I sent one in, and hopefully they include it in the next installment. It's a Milan Hayduk autographed jersey. And they spelled Hayduk's name wrong on the back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always going to be a jersey foul, no matter who's looking at it. So it's kind of in the eyes of the beholder, Carl. And we'll cover a little bit more of this in our jersey podcast, which we'll do in the future. I know we've been talking about it, but we'll put some work into it and really, really give you some details on it, especially, you know, maybe during the summer sometime where things are kind of slow. But there's some obvious jersey fouls. Carl talks about wearing his Avs jersey to AHL games. I don't have a problem with that.
If I go to a hockey game, I want to wear a hockey jersey. I go to a lot of hockey games that I've never, you know, places I've never been before. I'm not buying a brand new jersey or, you know, just to fit in with what is or isn't a jersey foul. But I have two go-to jerseys that I wear when I go to games, you know, if I really want to wear a jersey and, you know, maybe talk to people or whatnot. And that's my Moscow Dynamo game worn jersey and my Johnstown Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
And the Johnstown Chiefs, not the Charlestown Chiefs from the movie Slapshot, but the Johnstown Chiefs in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, where the Johnstown Jets that Slapshot was based on. They play at the War Memorial, all that. If I wear that jersey, chances are somebody's going to come up and talk to me about it. And that's great. That's, you know, my jersey is like a social calling card in a way.
And I think you referred.
I don't care if they, you know, if they like it or not, you know, that's great. I'm at a hockey game. I should be able to wear a hockey jersey. I don't care that it's not the two teams playing. You know, if it's the Red Wings jersey at the Pepsi Center, okay, you're trying to provoke something. If you're wearing an Islanders jersey at a Rangers game and the Islanders aren't playing, guess what? You get what you get.
That's right.
You're going to hear it. And my shout out to Scotty Hockey, who I met and saw an Islanders game with, and, you know, met at a Rangers game. He's going to give it to you, and you earned it. But you know that going in.
That is right.
So.
Yep.
You know, I don't know. I hate the whole idea that, like, every hockey fan should be rich enough to be able to afford the right jersey or just not wear one. Dude, wear what you want to wear.
Absolutely.
You know? Just don't wear like a number 14 Sakic jersey.
Yeah, I mean, there's some obvious ones out there. You really don't have to think about too much. But I'm a little more picky than others, but I'm also not one to give it to you. I just go, You know,
that was my rant. Yeah, that's my rant.
I try not to be too much of a Jersey snob. That's what I like to call it. But James, I've heard
as you look over your vast land of jerseys, wall of yeah.
No, it's just my passion that I have. I have fun with it.
That twill isn't right. I'm not buying that. I'm telling you,
I do that. I do it. But I've heard you refer to your jersey as a social network, and My thing is every jersey has a story to tell, and if your story really stinks, it's probably a jersey foul. But, I mean, the more obscure, there's sometimes that gray area between jersey foul and a huge jersey win. You know, there's a Roman Vopat Avalanche jersey on eBay right now. Vopat was part of a trade, and then he never played in an Avalanche game, but they made jerseys for him. So, you know, some people would look at that and say, oh, that's your own name. No, this, you know, this jersey has a story to tell, so I like jerseys with stories. Yeah. So there you go. Carl, thank you, man. I think I'm going to skip over. Dario Ronzone on Twitter had some really good stuff, and he actually went to our blog. He's Dario in Denver on Twitter, for those of you that would like to follow him. He doesn't tweet that often, but when he does, it's good stuff. He's talking about hitting the reset button on the franchise, and I think that's something we may be able to cover in a year-end show. I won't forget about this, Dario, as far as some of the things that they can do personnel-wise and some of the things they can do, you know, experience-wise at Pepsi Center, because I totally agree. But I think just in the interest of time, Dario, we're going to skip over it, but we will get back to you for sure. So thanks for being in touch. From the Avs Hockey Podcast Facebook page, our good buddy Katie Martinez, who, in your opinion, are the most and least valuable players for the Avalanche this season that are still with the organization?
I was going to say Anderson and Stewart.
Damn it.
Thanks for trading away for draft picks, but
if this changes. I mean, you talked to us a couple months ago. It's Duchesne hands down. You know, Ryan O'Reilly has scored way more than Duchesne lately, and that's not a good thing. You got anybody that jumps out as far as MVP so far?
No, that's, you know, and that's the problem. Who's taking this team and just going, let's spearhead this.
Maybe
team.
Lyles. I mean, that
maybe
that might,
I mean, he's been solid, and, and I can respect that. And I like, you know, I'm still a Lyles fan. I'm glad they didn't trade him away at the trade deadline. I know everybody was holding their breath, but, maybe he is. And that's kind of telling of the rest of it.
It's kind of a good indication too, how the season has gone, that we can't really pick one out right now, you know?
Yeah. And Peter Budaj, you know, I mean, he's been, you know, if there's a bus to be under, he's been thrown under it. And
he's driving.
He's still hanging in there. He's still, you know, he works. He tries. It's not like he's getting a ton of help in front. Nobody's, you know, people still aren't clearing bodies out in front of the net. You know, there's as many defensive problems as there is goaltending problems. But at least, geez, there's a guy who's trying out there, and it's usually him.
Yeah, he works. So. Least valuable. I mean, you could go with obvious and like for. I'm not trying to say this in a bad way at all, but like Peter Mueller, you know, that's not his fault. But least valuable.
So far, Elliott has been pretty invaluable. There's been, you know, you could go down the list, and rather than least valuable, just say underachiever.
Yeah,
and,
Kyle Komiski.
Push Chet in charge. Yeah, you know, where are these guys? I mean, you know, even Winnick has cooled off. Yeah. You know, everybody has been, you know, and maybe it's just a team psychology thing.
Oh, yeah,
Rather than, you know, but that's
Brandon Yip.
You could put check.
Brandon Yip could be that.
Oh, there we go. That's
for MVP. We could do like a David Jones. He's been good. He really has. Oh, yeah. He hasn't scored a ton of huge goals, but he's been solid because he's been healthy, you know.
Yeah, he's only been hurt for half a game here and there, it seems, like, you know, occasionally.
When he's not tripping over his own skates. Philippe Dupuis, I think he's been, if you want to give like a most surprising, he's been a nice surprise. I mean, he hasn't been great all year, but you can't ask for much more than for a guy that really wouldn't be up otherwise. I've noticed him when he's played. I didn't notice him too much last night, but that doesn't happen that often. So, yeah, I don't know. It comes and goes, but it's that kind of year. We could go, like you said, we could go right down the list as far as underachievers and have a great conversation. Katie also asks, how would you manage the team in the offseason? I'd say
Well, we got to wait and see what's available in the offseason. Yeah. And that's, you know, like talking to what Dario was talking about.
Yeah.
You know, we can hit the reset button, blah, 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 all those things. But, you know, there's going to be free agents that are on the market, you know, look like they're on the market right now, but are going to be locked up by the time we get there.
So I'd say in general, really though, you have to get a number one goaltender. Everybody's looking for one, and that won't solve all the issues, but.
We'll see if Volkoon's available, yeah. But after that, who knows? We'll see if, you know, there are a couple that might be out there. There's a lot of UFAs on the list, yeah. But that doesn't mean that they're going to be available.
Yeah. So, we'll continue this conversation with kind of an end of season or a preseason thing next year. Brian Rookstuhl, Robert Kilpatrick, and Jason Hotzinger, Jax Lung on Twitter also were inquiring about stuff about next year, off-season things. We'll cover those. So I thank you three and Dario for getting in touch with us, but I think we'll cover that eventually as well. So we won't forget about you guys. And
Brian asked about Lake Erie guys that could be brought up. And as you know, with yesterday's game against Nashville Predators, there were, you know, Hey Duke was injured, Stastny back injury, more and more, you know, this isn't a team that's exactly healthy or getting healthier right now. So I think we're going to see more call-ups, you know, as things go, just to at least fill those slots. But I also suspect that, you know, Joe Sacco has some thoughts on this, you know, as to who should get called up because he was down there, you know, but I always, you know, there's still some head scratchers along the way, and we'll see what I think we'll see what's available come the end of the season,
especially after July 1st, and see who signs where and what, and we can kind of go from there. We'll cover all that stuff, you guys. But yeah, thank you for getting in touch. And Katie also was asking, what is your favorite Ice Crew dance to date? Every once in a while at Pepsi Center, and James, I hope they do this when you're in town in a few weeks. The Ice Crew who comes out between the whistles after, you know, 14, 10, and 6 minutes, they, you know, have their shovels and they got the trash cans and they put the, you know, the Avalanche don't have the women on hockey skates and things, or on ice skates, figure skates and things like that. But the Ice Crew every once in a while does drop their shovels after they get done and they play a song and they dance. It's great. And I wish Pepsi Center, whoever's in charge of the entertainment, would do it a little more often, but it might get stale or whatever. But Katie, I don't have a favorite, but that doesn't mean I don't like it, because I like it every time they do it. So it's pretty entertaining. So James, I hope you get to see it in one of those three games, because sometimes that's the, you know, lately that's the highlight of the game right there, you know.
Hey, I just hope that when I'm going to be at three games, one on the 31st, one April 8th, and one April 10th, and I just hope that they play Metallica's Reload after the Avs get scored on the first time. I know they almost never do that, but
I think that's Rob Zombie. No, is it?
Are they doing Rob Zombie now?
No, it's Reload, but I don't know who it is. I hate that song though, because you know something bad.
Well, they've been doing it for years.
That's the thing, and that's what we can talk about with Dario's point. Is like, just let's try something new.
There was a couple of years ago. They did this. They did a really cool one, I thought, but I'm a nerd. That was it was like a riff on Close Encounters of the Third Kind
At the beginning of the game.
Yeah. Oh my God. That was so cool. And then after that, they went just right to this. They've done like the same thing year after year after year. And the best that they can come up with is it's all about the A, and it's all about the average.
Yeah. Throughout the years they've done, you know, different players, but I mean, they've had, I think, 37 different players this year, same as a couple years ago when they had, you know, a ton of injuries as well. And they used to go through each player and show a highlight or whatever. And I've heard you talk about it as far as, you know, people cheering for particular players, but they don't do that anymore. They have like a 3-minute thing. They change the highlights. They have the same audio over the top of it. And it does get kind of stale. And it's
all about the ambivalence.
Yeah. It's hard to get people, especially season ticket holders, you know, excited when it's the same thing over and over and over. So yeah, I got you. So, Katie, thank you. Arben Reimer, my golf partner from Twitter. We take on Mosier. I think what Mosier wants more, so we'll want to take him on. What are other teams doing that the Avs could do in order to be more successful? Win? I mean, that's a long answer on that one. Yeah. They have goaltending, solid defense. They don't have over 300 man games last injury. Aspects that the Avalanche do excel at. It used to be speed, but I think the other teams figured that out, and they're just you know, that's one of the things you have to adjust throughout the season. And that's one thing Josh McDaniels didn't do with the Broncos, and that's why he's gone. And that's what Joe Sacco's had a hard time adjusting to, especially with the guys with the most speed being out of the lineup. But any thoughts on that one?
Mostly about what they need to most work on is short quick passing and making quick decisions with the puck.
There was a couple last night.
The breakouts are painful.
Yeah.
They're really painful these days. You try, they're long stretch passes, you know, and in a way you'd see, you know, that was part of like what I didn't like about Scott Hannon when he was here was he didn't really want to pass to anybody who wasn't at the red line. And what you really like when you watch a team like, and I hate them, but you know, the Red Wings is whenever you watch the Red Wings play and they do those short passes, you get the other team chasing the puck around and chasing your guy around. And all of a sudden you know, a couple short, quick passes, you're through the neutral zone. The Avs just keep trying the exact same thing. Pass to the blue line, pass to the other blue line, you know, try and work it in. Or, you know, it's just, it doesn't, yeah. and it just isn't working because they're taking so long.
Pass the blue line, other blue line, dump it in, change. You know, yeah, after exactly. You spent 45 seconds in your own zone.
Exactly. And then, you know, how about a couple quick decisions along the boards? There are no, it seems like they get the puck taken away so quickly. You know, it's not that tough to forecheck against the Avs because they take so long with the puck and do nothing with it. If they kept their feet moving, but also a couple worked on just shorter, quick passes. And I know this is like, you know, this is James's coach and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, but that's just one of those things that if you're asking what I think as far as what I think they need to work on, that's it.
A couple really, really, really bad giveaways last night too. I mean, you know, Matt Duchene gets knocked off the puck, you know, ends up in the back of your net. Kevin Porter had an absolutely like, I mean, you learn the game when you're 3 or 4 years old. Don't clear the puck down the middle. You know, he tries to make a breakout pass to somebody standing in the slot, you know, and that ends up in the back of their net. So it's that time of, you know, how they're doing right now, everything ends up in the back of your net. So it's just, I don't know. Arben, that's a long conversation. We could probably cover a whole show on all this stuff because we're so expert-y. You know,
if there were a couple of things I would say, short passes, quicker decisions, you know, and also just, you know, transition, a little bit of a quicker transition because giveaways happen. But, you know, when you see it happen, you don't just stop, you know, and go, well, let's go into the back of the net. Yeah. You know, it was a little while ago that it wasn't that long ago that I remember you saying, man, I love this team. They never quit.
And they quit.
You know,
well, I wouldn't say they quit. They just don't have what they used to have. Yeah.
They don't start.
They don't start the game on time, you know. All right, Arben. Thanks, man. And I will see you, and we'll take on Keefe and Bird Tag or whoever else wants some. So thanks, Arben. Chris Joy, Huntsville, Alabama. He was at the Smashville game last night. Said to give some love to David Vandergullick. I liked Oliver and Vandergullick last night. They brought some good energy. Now let's see if we can make it last about 10 games in a row. Ryan O'Reilly was cash last night, too. Really cool. So Chris asked.
Chris, I might be coming down to a Huntsville Havoc game.
Oh, cool.
So
that's where he's at. Maybe you guys
last should. Game of the season.
I met Chris earlier this season. Awesome dude. He's been following the show for a long, long time. So he asked a couple different questions. Should Hajduk retire as an Av, and should it be this summer? let's put it this way. I don't want the guy to go. But if he did, I'd understand.
Well,
I think he's still got some hockey left.
I think he's got a lot of hockey left in him. Yeah. I just think he hasn't played with anybody, you know, that, you know, it's been a rotating cast of characters. He's obviously, you know, number one line, number two line, but look at how the season started or how it was going to start in training camp. You had the top line of Hajduk, Duchene, Mueller, and that looked pretty darn solid. No Mueller. Everybody else has moved around him. You know, the second line was just a mess after more injuries. It's not like he's had a lot. He's had Duchene with him. That's great. You know, but a line, you know, a forward line is three people. And I don't think that he may be injured. He may be losing a step. He may be all kinds of things. You know, he's a quieter guy. And I don't, you know, I think we're just going to have to wait and see. But yes, he should retire an Av when that day happens, I think. I think he'd be happy to.
Yeah, I think he does. I think obviously he wants to. He has a family here. He's been here his whole career. I'd love to see him.
And you remember how sad he was when like people were leaving?
Oh, yeah.
When people were getting traded? That guy has a lot of heart.
Yeah, he does.
If anything, if there's a heart guy on the team, I don't think he's as good at communicating it because he seems so quiet. But that guy is heart and soul. Yeah. For
I like the way, I've always loved the way he plays the game. And you know, if you're going to set up your game, he's a good guy to go after, you know, he's just never, and he's never, I've learned to accept this. He's never been a guy to take over a game, You know, he's just not that kind of a player. But when he gets the chance, he's going to take advantage of it. So hopefully he's got a couple years left in him. And your great point as far as he needs talent around him. So does Matt Duchene. So does everybody for the most part. Not everybody is a Ovechkin or a, you know, kind of a Sidney Crosby type player that can just take over a game, just get me the puck, you know. Most everybody isn't that way, and they need talent. So he's a real big.
You lose this many man games, you're not going to have the talent that you thought you were.
No, and yeah, they've lost entire lines of folks and more. So, let's see. Katie Martinez also said who should retire and who will retire. The only name that pops up is Adam Foote. I heard not too long ago that he's actually made a decision. He just doesn't want to share it, but there's really no reason. I'm trying to be as respectful as possible, but you know, it's obvious his best days are behind him, and it's probably be best just to try something else. As much as we all like him, he's been fine.
No, you know, I agree. Yeah.
Sacco given the boot at the end of the season. If he hasn't yet, I don't think they're going to do it. Should he be fired? I don't know. I go back and forth on that one, but I don't really worry too much about stuff that I can't really control. So.
Let's see who's available. You know, there's not much. It's not like we're hearing a lot out of the minors. People used to be big on Sacco. They were big on Sacco when he was in the they thought he was going to be the next head coach when he was in Lake Erie. He became the next head coach. He was a coach of the year finalist, you know, and now the wheels have fallen off the bus. I don't think keeping him is going to sell tickets, you know, but at the same time, you know, maybe there is something there, and maybe there's less going, you know, maybe there's something else going on. You know, maybe we have many other issues. So I think that I could get into a little bit, but right now it's just, I think they're going to keep him.
The organization has been really quiet about it. They have said that they'll be back, like he and Sherman will be back, but
yeah,
we'd all like to hear just a teeny bit more as far as why.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you're a Nuggets fan right now, you're wondering what the heck your team is, you know, the Nuggets are doing. So, you know, now that they're going through all those changes. So I think that this is, you know, definitely an ownership that's going to be in, you know, asking a lot of questions. And hey, same thing with the Mammoth. Maybe it's the drinking water at the Pepsi.
It could be. Right. Although
somebody drank out of the wrong fountain and now everybody has mono and they're sad or something. I don't know.
That would explain things though. Definitely do it.
They got all upset and they play Cure songs on the PA when nobody's there and you know, everybody gets all doom and gloom. I don't know.
And by the way, I know you don't follow basketball that well, but the Nuggets are playing great. So it's really interesting how that all works out. So let's see. Was Anderson being traded the best things for the Avs tanking, and could he be re-signed in the offseason?
Yes. And
yeah, no. Chris, if you're talking about him coming back to the Avalanche, there's no way. It was pretty obvious.
Wasn't it the Edmonton Journal that said that he got offered 2 years at for 7.5 total,
and he turned it down.
Yeah,
I don't know. That might have been the beginning of the end of everything, and the season he had for the Avalanche and the demeanor and everything was just kind of a manifestation of that.
If anything points to there to something being broken, that's it for me. Yeah. That right there says, you know, because here's a guy that was so happy to be here. He got his big chance. He was, you know, all last season was awesome. And then this season, something's wrong. So yeah, something's up, but you know, we probably won't know what it is.
We'll never know.
But no, he's never coming back. No. Anderson's not coming back. He's going to be one of those guys that when he plays here again, everybody's going to look and go, ooh, he's going to show them.
Yep.
You know, it's going to be one of those situations.
It was one of those moves. There was a lot of feelings behind that thing. So will Foote finally retire? And okay, who's the next captain? Keep going around with this. Stastny, Duchene. People have actually brought up Eric Johnson as well.
I don't know. That's a good point. Now that he's here, who knows?
And he wore the alternate A last night. He and Cody McLeod with Stastny and Hejduk out.
I don't know. Show me a leader on this team right now. Show me somebody who's standing up and saying, "Do this." You know, I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing that.
No.
You know, even though Joe Sakic didn't have the big gregarious personality. Show me a guy that's standing up and going, this is what, you know, and taking charge. I'm not seeing it at all.
Yeah. And I think
that's part of the problem.
I think Foote knows this is about it for him. So he, you know, it's a tough one. I'll be interested to see who the next captain is. But I think part of what you bring up is why the issues are happening in the first place. So how's the Blues trade panning out for both teams? Right now, it's not panning out for both teams very well. Shattenkirk and Stewart are looking great. But I've heard a lot of great things about Eric Johnson. He's shown a lot of great things. This is going to be one of those 5 or 6 year things where, you know, a lot of people have said a lot of really, really good things about Johnson, like I said. And I like what I've seen too. But It's going to take a while, you know. And sometimes trades just fall apart, like the Volsky deal for Mueller and Porter. I mean, that's almost like you're not even worth discussing anymore because the whole thing fell apart. You know, the Phoenix already moved Volsky, and Mueller may not play hockey again, and Porter does a few things here and there, and that's about it. So,
Johnson's long-term. Johnson's a long-term solution to a long-term problem. So at least there's something going on there. At least there was some thought in that, I think.
Absolutely.
You know, you can't say that he isn't working out. I think that we're gonna see in 2 years that I think it's going to work out.
Yeah, it's going to take some time. And Johnson needs, you know, better folks playing around him forward-wise and defense-wise. And I'm not trying to say much about whoever he's playing with, but, you know, the team's lacking a lot of stuff right now. And they need.
Do you think that
they need more stuff?
Well, if Stewart weren't scoring like he is right now, would people even be debating it?
No.
There would be a little bit. I think there would be a little bit more of a longer term because all we would hear is we need a big stud defenseman. Need a big stud defenseman. Well, guess what? They traded for a number one overall draft pick, defenseman. You know, number one overall.
Yep.
It's not like. You know, and he was playing for a team where the wheels were falling off the bus too. So, you know, I think we're going to see in a year or two what happens with
that. Yeah, we'll see. I think they'll be fine. And a lot of people think there has to be a winner and a loser in every trade. It's okay for both teams to win too, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen that often, but it's okay for that to happen. So, we'll see. Chris, thank you. Good to see you this season, and we'll keep in touch like we have. And Mick Samantle on Facebook, when he's asking, we can talk about this a little bit too in our jersey show, but when did I start collecting jerseys and has this always been a hobby or did I recently get into it?
You just started like 2 weeks ago.
You're just
new to this.
I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah. Spending a lot of money for nothing.
I've always been into jerseys, but ever since I started my kind of working relationship with Denver Athletic, who letters the Avalanche jerseys that they wear on the ice, things have like totally taken off, knowing that I can get them taken care of the same way the Avalanche jerseys are taken care of, and I don't have to worry about small details and things like that. That's really helped. So, Mick, I've been really big into it probably the last 4 or 5 years, but I've always been into jerseys, and small things happen that help out the collection in big ways. And, you know, finding Denver Athletic and being able to work closely with them has really, really helped. So we'll talk about them in the show a little bit more too, but Denver Athletic is who letters the Avalanche jerseys on the ice. So if you have an Avalanche jersey and you want it done right, all you have to do is send it to them, and they will take great care of you. And let me know, like, on Facebook or Twitter or anything, if you need anything done, I can give you the contact information, and they are outstanding. Love the work they do. Standings, that's it, by the way, for the questions. We're just going to go through the rest of the stuff really quickly because I know James needs to get going. The Avalanche are now 14th in the Western Conference. They're 1 point ahead of Ottawa, and Ottawa, I'd imagine, would pass them up. They're 5 points ahead of Edmonton, and the Islanders and Panthers both have 5 points more than the Avalanche right now, so that's depressing. But they're working for top three or higher pick right now, and I don't see that changing anytime soon.
No reason to.
No. James, would you like to go over where everybody can find us? I'm going to cry for a little while.
Don't cry, Jay. Don't cry. You can find the Avs Hockey Podcast at www.avshockeypodcast.com. There, Jay's got jersey posts. Jay's got, you know, episodes. Jay's got questions for you. We've got everything.
Jersey fouls.
Jersey fouls. You can subscribe in iTunes from there. You can find the Facebook page, link to the fan page there, or just search Avs Hockey Podcast on Facebook, and Jay's Twitter as AVSHKY podcast. You know, it's just that simple. I am at jerseysandhockeylove.com, and my Twitter handle is tapeleg, TAPELEG. I asked Jay to give me just a minute here just to say, going to be in town in Denver for the end of the season and thinking about April 7th at having a little maybe a final away game get together at Sobo 151, which is at 151 South Broadway. They are not an advertiser or anything like that. It's just a great little it's a great hockey bar, good food, Czech food. Hockey jerseys on the walls, good beer. Anyways, just thinking about a little get together for the last one, something informal. If you're interested, follow us on Twitter. We'll have updates as we go. It's not like we're doing anything big or anything, just, you know, but maybe just get some fans together and commiserate about the season that was.
We can cry together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That sounds like fun.
Cool. And that's about it for me.
We're actually planning on James and I, for the most, I think as of right now, we'll both be at the game together on April 8th and April 10th. Mm-hmm. So if those of you out there that'll be at that game, we'd, you know, if we haven't, well, let's see. James hasn't been around, you know, the entire season because of how much he travels. But, mm-hmm. you know, even people that I've met, let's have, you know, some little gatherings and say hi and just kind of see what's up. So, yeah.
Just an intermission meet and greet even or something.
Absolutely. We can.
Yeah.
I'll bring the tissue. we can just sob and people will think we're the weirdest folks ever, but they'll understand.
I'll wear my Vitali Kolesnik jersey, so you know, remind us of better
good
days.
Times. I'll buy a Tyler Arneson and wear that. I mean,
nice.
You might as well. And you know, upcoming games, I could cover all of them. They don't play again until Wednesday. 3 out of 4 nights there. I don't know. The only thing I can tell you, Avalanche fans, is that there's 14 games left. That's, you know, that's it. So, you know, in a way, it's you know, end of the misery. Let's just move on. I mean, even Peter McNabb and Mike Haynes are talking about the team in the past tense right now, which is, you know, that says a lot. But it's also
– unusual.
Yeah. And it's almost the end of the hockey season, which I don't like. I mean, the playoff season is fun. And for obvious reasons, you'd like to have your favorite team in it. But – you know, the season's almost over, and that's never good. You know,
every time I hear the organ play the Family Guy theme, I just keep thinking, boy, it used to be fun to watch, and now it's just painful.
Yeah,
yeah, just like yeah. Family Guy.
Speaking of painful, we didn't bring it up, but Ryan O'Byrne, that's a manly man right there.
Yeah.
I will post there's a slow-mo that I think CBC caught of him catching Taylor Hall's skate to his face. Unbelievable. And he finishes the shift, and that's what hockey players do. I guess John Michael Lyles turned around at one point, you know, during play, was like, "Would you get off the ice?" You know, it was that bad. But, you know, 30 stitches on the outside, you know, 70 approximately on the inside. And, man, that's what hockey players do. That's how they roll. Mm-hmm. So that's –
Hey, speaking of manly men, Randy Kroger, our buddy on Twitter.
Absolutely.
You find him strictly Randy, is in Tokyo.
Yes.
Of all places, rode out the earthquake
on the top of a building.
Whole deal. He's okay.
Yes.
But man, there you go. Manly men of the Avs Hockey Podcast.
And Randy was a manly man before that. He's serving our country in the Air Force. So we always appreciate that. And Randy has a standing offer from my dad. Whenever he's in town, he's got my dad's ticket to go to the game. So I told Randy that. Randy also has some sweet jerseys that pretty cool. So we got lots to talk about, but Randy.
Oh, hey, another thing,
yes.
A little bit more fun on skates, perhaps. Looking at maybe an April 2nd, I believe it is, maybe a roller derby game.
Oh, that's right.
Let's have some fun with people on skates. Fun.
That's right. We can laugh and be entertained.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure if there's a game that night, but it's the day after for April Fool's. So, you know, come on.
Is Jory going to go with you? Have you talked Jory?
I'm going to try. Okay. Angelique, Jory 5280.
On Twitter.
I'm going to try and get her down there. She loves Denver sports. It's like she loves every Denver sport.
Absolutely.
But, you know, she's never been to a roller derby. So, well, put the pressure on her, people. Give her a couple of mentions. Anyways, April 2nd at the Fillmore. Thinking about doing some roller derby. Again, stay tuned on Twitter. Because, you know, at least it'll be entertainment on skates.
Yeah.
This isn't that live.
We'll have all kinds of good stuff for you on Twitter. So, once again, AVSHKY podcast for me and then James's tape leg. So, James, thank you.
Hey, thank
you. Good morning. And everybody else, that's about it. Episode number 63 of the Avs Hockey Podcast, the Joel Perpich edition of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost everything Avalanche. James, I don't know what we'll do next. I mean, we can do a season-ending show. We got all kinds of stuff to talk about, but we'll plan something out, all right?
Yep, absolutely.
Have a good one. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
All right, everybody out there, thanks so much for your support. We always appreciate everything you do on Twitter and on Facebook and on our blog and everything else. We wouldn't be doing this if you guys didn't support us. So, thank you. We definitely appreciate it. So not sure when this will be. We might do a season ending thing, jersey thing. James will be in town. We'll do something together. Cause that's how we roll. But, until then, take care. Let's go Avs. It makes me want to cry again, but, we'll keep cheering for him. Let's go Avs. And James and I will see you next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast. See you later.